From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled, Promise of a Future Meeting. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 22. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Surely he will come a second time, and then when he sees us and we see him, there will be rejoicings indeed. Oh, for that joyous return! But this promise is being daily fulfilled in another sense. Our gracious Lord has many agains in his dealings with us. He gave us pardon, and he sees us again and repeats the absolving word as fresh sins cause us grief. He has revealed to us our acceptance before God, and when our faith in that blessing grows a little dim, he comes to us again and again and says, Peace be unto you, and our hearts are glad. Beloved, all our past mercies are tokens of future mercies. If Jesus has been with us, he will see us again. Look upon no former favor as a dead and buried thing to be mourned over, but regard it as a seed sown, which will grow and push its head up from the dust and cry, I will see you again. Are the times dark because Jesus is not with us as he used to be? Let us pluck up courage, for he will not be long away. His feet are as those of a roe or young hart, and they will soon bring him to us. Wherefore, let us begin to be joyous, since he says to us even now, I will see you again.
When we hear the trumpet sound in the morning, shout.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he proceeds with this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, Universal Guilt and Total Depravity. In chapter 3 of the epistle, the Jews objected to Paul's preaching of salvation by grace alone because he applied it to them as well as to the Gentiles, in spite of their great privileges. In verses 9 through 20 of the chapter, Paul shows that both Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty before God. From Psalm 14, Paul declared, There is none righteous, no, not one. For Jew and Gentile, the problem is the same. All are under the control of sin. Yet God has provided the remedy in the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. For Jew and Gentile, Christ is the answer. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Universal Guilt and Total Depravity.
We're all sinners. As he goes on in the 23rd verse, all have sinned and are constantly coming short of the glory of God. All are sinners. All are fallen. And that fallen, that's a good way to put it. Because you'll see that in verse 9, he says, we have before proved or charged Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. They are all under sin. And the under implies motion. It's a word that implies motion. The idea is they have all fallen under sin. God didn't start us out that way. And I'm talking now about the commencement of the race, not the beginning of our lives. God didn't start the race out that way. He created man without sin. And Adam fell, and we fell in him. Here Paul is tracing sin to its source, something he's going to do much more fully in chapter 5. He says, we've all fallen under sin. The idea is not only of our fall, but of the dominance of sin. Sin as a dominant tyrant. We are under sin. If you look at chapter 5, verse 21, he describes sin as a reigning monarch. Sin hath reigned unto death. Sin as the tyrant. Sin as the dominant power. The reigning power in your life. What does it mean? We're under sin, under its control. As he says in chapter 7, there are times when you want to do things, but you can't do them. There are other times you think, I don't want to do that, but you end up doing it anyway. You find a law, a principle within you, which is wicked and evil. As many a time you shock yourself with what you think. You shock even yourself with what you say. You stand back and say, how could I have done that? But you did it. Do you remember when the prophet Elijah went to Hazael to anoint him king over Syria? And he wept. The young man said, why are you weeping? He says, because I can see what you're going to do in my country. You're going to rip up the women with child. You're going to cause slaughter and bloodshed. And he said, is thy servant a dog that he would do such things? There's one old preacher who preached in that portion said, dog or no dog, he did it. He did it. And there's a Hazael in the breast of every one of us. Under sin. Under its control. Ephesians 2 describes that dominion of sin. We walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is energizing in the children of disobedience. We're under its curse. You look out in the world on a day like this, perfect weather, green all around you. The world seems to be a wonderful place, and it is, for it's still God's creation. I often think, if this is the world under the curse, what must it have been like in the Garden of Eden? What will it be like in the paradise of God? But you know, you wouldn't have to go very far, even here in Greenville, to get beyond the greenery, to get beyond the beauty, and to see what sin has done. You'll go to the homes of the poor, and you'll see the crack addict and the neglected children. You can go to the homes of the rich, and though the trappings may be different, the curse is just the same. We're under the curse of sin. We're under its ravages in our body. It's part of my job. I visit hospitals. I don't like it. Not for any lack of desire to be with God's people or anybody else in their time of need. That's why I do it. But I never get used to sickness, and I never get used to suffering, and I never get used to death. And I never get used to the fact that I can be going to see a person one day and they seem the picture of health, and the next day I'm looking at a corpse. I've seen it happen that quickly. I still have imprinted in my mind memories of people I knew as big, strapping, strong individuals. I've often talked to you about a young man who first came singing in our church in Dunmurry, just like a big farmer walking up into the pulpit, and I said, "Man, what's this fellow going to sound like when he starts to sing? Doesn't look like he knows anything about singing." As soon as he opened his mouth, I heard one of the most beautiful singing voices I've ever heard. Roy stood about 6 feet two, a big, strong fella. The last time he ever sang a solo was in my church in Ballymoney. And he literally had to choke back whatever was blocking him in order that he would be able to sing. I'll never forget the last time I ever saw Roy. I visited him in a little hospital room in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, just for a few minutes, to see those great strapping arms no thicker than my two fingers. See a man lie there with the weightness of a linen sheet causing agony to his skin. That's just part of the curse that sin brought. We're under its control, under curse, and worst of all, under condemnation for sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. Paul says, "I have charged Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin." I want you to see he's saying sin is serious. Men and women, take it to heart tonight. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to make you like the preacher. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here as a dying man talking to dying men and women. I'm talking to you in the vestibule of eternity, and that's the vestibule of either heaven or hell. I'm here to tell you, sin is serious. But you know, I have to say this. So is the grace of God. And I would be remiss, although it is not part of my text as such, it is part of the subject. You cannot deal with the Scripture's serious treatment of sin without realizing that the Bible underlines the awful character and consequences of sin in order to tell you there is an answer to sin. And the answer to sin is a God-given answer. It's the answer that is written large in the letters of redemption, spelled out in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What is the answer to sin? Ignore it. Listen, man, if a doctor came to you today to tell you, "I have diagnosed a virulent cancer within you," what would happen if you ignored it? You can go out and get drunk, it doesn't change the cancer. You can go out and say, "I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to make $1 million in business. Go and do it." It doesn't change the cancer. Ignore it and it'll kill you. Go to every quack in town and let every quack treat you. And what will happen? It will kill you. But imagine that same doctor saying, "Man, I have diagnosed this because I have the infallible answer. It's free." What would you think of the man who said, "Thank you, I don't think I'll bother"? Be a fool, would he not? I want to tell you of the one, the late Lester Roloff, and his wonderful testimony message on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, introduced to people as Dr. Grace, who not only tells you what's wrong with you, but has the infallible answer. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life and virtue of the entire humanity and obedience of Jesus Christ is distilled in his precious blood, and it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I tell you tonight, sin is serious, but so is the grace of God. I will leave Paul's proposition one third of the way through. We will finish this, God willing, next Sabbath evening. But I want you to take this home with you. Don't forget what we have dealt with tonight. There's not one person here but that has been mightily blessed of God. Not one person here but that is numbered among those who have immense advantages. Some of you have lived 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, maybe more. And for all the advantages, you're no better. You're none the better. But you've kicked against everything that the grace of God has brought into your life. I want you to see the seriousness of your sin. But oh, tonight I would to God that he would give you a sight of the glory and the grace and the power and the willingness of the Savior. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Make sure you get to Christ without delay, and you'll find that he has the infallible answer, the immediate answer, the eternal answer to the serious problem of your sin. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Our Father, we pray, bless thy word to every heart tonight. We believe, Lord, there are folks here who have had all the advantages of birth, advantages of Christian influence and opportunity, advantages of health and prolonged life, and yet they're no better for it, for they're still enemies of God and rejecters of the Savior. God of mercy, we know that sin is serious, but Lord, we thank thee for the power of God in the gospel. Oh, bring the lost to the Lord Jesus tonight. Grant that this night thou wilt give fruit for the exaltation of thine own dear Son. Hear our prayer. Solemnize every heart. Get a grip of every conscience. And as we separate one from another, grant that we will not lose that consciousness of the nearness of our God, or lose that sense of the Lord speaking to the soul through the Bible. Hear us now. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, the beginning of all wisdom and of all knowledge. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Redeemer, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our indwelling Comforter, may be our portion in Christ, now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.